we just completed a study on friendship, and I've decided to take us into another study, and that study is on anger. Anger. None of us in here have any problem with anger, right? In fact, the truth is that we all have some kind of problem with anger at one time or another, some more than others, some less than others. But did you know in the Bible that there is a type of anger that is righteous? In fact, we refer to it by another phrase, righteous indignation. And that's mentioned over in Ephesians 4, verses 26 and 27, when it says this, "Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath or your anger, nor give place to the devil." That passage there is talking about a righteous anger. There is a time and a moment and a place for it. And we're going to talk about that, what it exactly is, what is good anger, what is bad anger, how it displays itself. The first part of that verse is taken from Psalm 4 and verse 4. Now, because anger can be selfish, do we rarely understand that we can be angry without sinning? But much of what I believe is coming from a misunderstanding of what the Bible says. Because if you begin to examine just the whole subject of anger and why you get mad, many times it is related to something that either happened to you or something that you didn't get, that you expected, or you felt that you were wrong. Now, as I shared when we talked about friendships, if you're an angry person, then it's hard to be a good friend to somebody, because if you're one who has an angry disposition, you're angry all the time, no one really wants to be around that unless they too are the same type of person. So let's begin. What is anger? What is anger? Well, first we need to understand that it is an emotion. It's like an emotion, like sadness is an emotion, laughter is an emotion. And really, if you think about it, to deny anger is to deny emotions that you already possess. What we need to understand is that it's normal, it's natural. All of us become angry, but the question is when is it right? Should I control my anger? Should I control any other emotion? Well, I think Solomon answered that question in Ecclesiastes when he says that there is a time and a place for everything. And that is true. You're here at school. I love laughter, but if you get laughing and you're so loud and you disrupt the class, then that's become an inappropriate time for it. But if I tell a really funny joke, then yeah, laugh, because my jokes are not funny. See? Another thing we can say about anger is it's a feeling of displeasure. Webster defines it this way. It's a feeling of displeasure resulting from injury, mistreatment, opposition, and usually showing itself in a desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. So when you have this displeasure in your life, either you got hurt, you got mistreated, you got opposed, you fill in the blank, you have that feeling of fighting back against those who caused this emotion. Now, one of the problems with forgiveness is that you put that with anger, and anger doesn't want forgiveness. Anger wants revenge. It feeds on that. And again, the only problem with that definition is it's really one-sided, because it's talking about your injury, it's talking about your mistreatment, it's talking about your opposition, it's talking about your desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. And that's not really what Ephesians 4, 26 and 27 is saying. But before we look at that definition even further, I want to take you into 1 Samuel 25. 1 Samuel 25. After Saul dies, the story picks up there by telling us that Samuel died. It says, "Then Samuel died, and all Israel gathered together, and they mourned for him. They buried him at his house in Ramah. And David arose and went down to the wilderness of Paran." Now, what happens at this point is a story that where we can examine righteous or unrighteous anger. Let's listen. Now there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel, and the man was very rich, and he had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. And it came about while he was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the man's name was Nabal, and his wife's name was Abigail, and the woman was intelligent and beautiful in appearance. But the man was harsh and evil in his dealings, and he was a Calebite. That David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel, visit Nabal, and greet him in my name. And thus you shall say, 'Have a long life, peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have.' Now I heard that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we have not insulted them, nor have they missed anything all the days they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we have come on a festive day. Please give whatever you find at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came, they spoke to Nabal according to all these words in David's name, and they waited. But Nabal answered David's servants, and he said, "Who is David? And who is the son of Jesse? There are many servants today who are each breaking away from his master. Shall I then take my bread and my water and my meat that I have slaughtered for my shears and give it to the men whose origin I do not know?" So David's young men retraced their way, went back, and they came and told him according to all these words. David said to his men, "Each of you gird on his sword." So each man girded on his sword. And David also girded on his sword, and about 400 men went up behind David, while 200 stayed with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, saying, "Behold, David sent messengers from the wilderness to greet our master, and he scorned them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we were not insulted, nor did we miss anything as long as we had went about with them while we were in the fields. There were a wall to us both by night and day, all the time we were with them tending the sheep. Now therefore know and consider what you should do, for evil is plotted against our master and against all his household, and he is such a worthless man that no one can speak to him." Then Abigail hurried and took 200 loaves of bread and 2 jugs of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 measures of roasted grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and loaded them on donkeys. She said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I am coming after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. Came about as she was riding on her donkey and coming down by the hidden part of the mountain, that behold, David and his men were coming down toward her, and so she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain I have guarded all that this man has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned evil for me. May God do so to the enemies of David, and more also, if by morning I leave as much as one male or any who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and dismounted from her donkey and fell on her face before David and bowed herself to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be this blame. And please let your maidservant speak to you and listen to the words of your maidservant. Please do not let my Lord pay attention to this worthless man, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your maidservant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now therefore, my Lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, since the Lord has restrained you from shedding blood and from avenging yourself by your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek evil against my Lord be as Nabal. Now let this gift which your maidservant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who accompany my Lord. Please forgive the transgression of your maidservant, for the Lord will certainly make for my Lord an enduring house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil will not be found in all of your days. Should anyone rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, then the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living with the Lord your God. But the lives of your enemies he will sling out as from the hollow of the sling. And when the Lord does for my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and appoints you ruler over Israel, this will not cause grief or a troubled heart to my Lord, both by having shed blood without cause and by my Lord having avenged himself. When the Lord deals well with my Lord, then remember your maidservant." Then David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. And blessed be your discernment, and blessed be you who have kept me this day from bloodshed and from avenging myself from my own hand. Nevertheless, as the Lord God of Israel lives, who has restrained me from harming you, unless you had come quickly to meet me, surely there would not have been left to Nabal until the morning light as much as one male. So David received from her hand what she had brought him and said to her, "Go up to your house in peace. See, I have listened to you and granted your request." Then Abigail came to Nabal, and behold, he was holding a feast in the house, like the feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she did not tell him anything at all until the morning light. But in the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, so that he became as a stone. About 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. I'm going to ask you a few questions as we read this. What kind of anger did David have? Is it righteous or was it unrighteous? Was it the kind of anger that Ephesians 4:26 talks about when it says, "Be angry and do not sin, do not let the sun go down on your anger"? Was it that kind of anger? Or was it the kind of anger that you've been offended? Well, verse 13 tells us that he was angered at how he and his servants were mistreated by Nabal. Verses 21 and 22 tells us that he wanted to take vengeance because of his mistreatment. It also tells us in verse 39 that his anger was evil. And he even admits it. He saw that. But after it was pointed out. See, when you're filled with this kind of rage, this kind of anger, you're going headstrong against what caused it. Whether that's right or not. At the moment, you think that your reaction, you think that the emotion that you're feeling is right. That how you're responding is okay. We learn from this about pride. David's pride was hurt. And he was determined to avenge himself because of it. This is a good example of our definition, a feeling of displeasure resulting from injury, resulting from mistreatment, resulting from opposition, usually showing itself in a desire to fight back at the supposed cause of this feeling. Now think about it. How many times have you felt like this? How many times have you lashed out? Someone said something to you, someone didn't give you what you desired. Maybe that person owed you something and they just didn't fulfill your request. How'd you respond? How do you respond here at school? What makes you mad? What ticks you off? I'm hoping that through this that we can examine things like that. You can ask questions like that. There's another story. It's found in Genesis 4. And in Genesis 4, it's a story about Cain and Abel. And if you're familiar with the story, you know that Cain rose up and killed his brother. His first murder recorded in the Bible of humans. First death, we should say, of humans. It tells us, now the man had relations with his wife, that is Eve. She conceived and gave birth to Cain. And she said, "I have gotten a man-child with the help of the Lord." Again, she gave birth to his brother Abel. And Abel was a keeper of flocks, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And it came about in the course of time that Cain brought an offering to the Lord of the fruit of the ground. Abel, on his part, also brought of the firstlings of his flock and their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and for his offering. But for Cain and for his offering, he had no regard. So Cain became very angry, and his countenance, his face, fell. Even when you get mad, your face gets all messed up. You can show it. It's just like when you lie or any other emotion that you have, it affects your face. Many of you lie in class and you try to get away with lying to your teacher, and you'll hear me say many times, you're lying. It's all over your face. And I'm glad you're not good liars, frankly. I'm glad that you haven't mastered that art, if you want to call it an art. But there are people out there that do master that, and they live the lie, and they believe the lie so much, to them the lie is truth. I won't tell you what that sounds like. But the Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will not your countenance be lifted up? And if you do not do well, listen to this, guys. Sin is crouching at the door, and its desire is for you. But you must master it. Cain told his brother, and it came about when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. And then it says, the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? And he said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? There's where that phrase came from. And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood is crying to me from the ground. Now you are cursed from the ground, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you cultivate the ground, it will no longer yield its strength to you. You will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth. And Cain said to the Lord, my punishment is too great to bear. Behold, you've driven me this day from the face of the ground, and from your face I will be hidden. And I will be a vagrant and a wanderer on the earth, and whoever finds me will kill me. So the Lord said to him, therefore whoever kills Cain, vengeance will be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord appointed a sign for Cain so that no one finding him would slay him. Then Cain went out from the presence of the Lord and settled in the land of Nod, east of Eden. We really don't have much information about that. But let's just look at this. Cain's displeasure toward God, his brother, caused him to murder his brother. But in reality, he wanted to kill God. That's really how he felt. You get mad at God, you get mad at somebody. Jesus talks about anger in your heart. It's like murder. I've said this to someone before, people, not just one person, but people before. By the look that they give you when they're mad at you, it's like they're killing you in their mind. They're murdering you in their mind. Now, ask yourself, if you get angry today, whether it's here or when you get home, you ask yourself, what is the feeling that you're having at that moment? It's certainly not love. Aren't you feeling like you want to really hurt somebody? And then ask yourself, is that right? Is that righteous? Is that pleasing to the Lord? 1 John 3:12 says something about what took place here in Genesis 4. It says, Cain was of the wicked one. The wicked one is Satan. And murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? Because his works were evil. And his brother's righteous. Both of these passages illustrate the selfish anger that Webster's dictionary refers to as anger. Now, I do have another question I want to ask, but I'm going to save it for next week, but I'll at least let you hear it and to see where we're going with this next time. How does anger manifest itself? How does it show up? When it's there, what are some of the things that characterize it? Let's pray. We thank you, Father, for this time in your word, and we pray, Heavenly Father, that as we go through this, that we'll truly examine our attitudes, we'll examine this issue of anger. We pray all this in your name. Amen.